Good afternoon. I'm City Manager DeCarlin Seawitt. Thank you for joining us today for the State of the City Address. Each year, I take this opportunity to reflect on the progress the city and the community has made. Columbia is a full-service city, and we have so many programs and initiatives, it's difficult to mention them all. This year, as I sat down to think about the projects and initiatives I wanted to mention, I found it even more difficult. This year, I wanted to do something a little special, a little different. Our staff has prepared videos and a booklet that will illustrate the accomplishments that we've made in ways words alone could not. This past year has been a year of action, a year of seeing things through and creating new initiatives, a year of true accomplishments. Today, I will share some of those accomplishments, but before I do, I would like to thank some very important people. First, our mayor and city council. Each of them volunteers their time to make Columbia a better place and to represent the voices of their constituents. That includes many late night council meetings and many hours spent away from their family to connect with residents. Please join me in giving them a round of applause. Additionally, I would like to thank our employees. They are the backbone of the city. 1,600 people show up each week to keep you safe and healthy. When everything's going right, you most likely are not even aware they're there. I would like to take a moment to give them a round of applause as well. The most important group to thank is you, our residents and business people of the City of Columbia. Without your support and direction, none of this would be possible. So let's give yourselves a round of applause. Now let me begin. The one thing that I am most proud of in the past year is the work that we've done to recognize our employees for the hard work they do. In 2023, the city completed a study that reviewed employees' compensation and benefits. As a result of that study, employee pay ranges were adjusted to not only be competitive, but to lead the market. That adjustment was a $10 million commitment to our staff. Phase two of that study is to address pay compression. Addressing compression will restore pay differentials between employees newly placed in a classification and employees with more experience. The city remains committed to adjusting salaries for employees impacted by compression. We have proposed a plan to address this compression and we'll be actually moving forward with that plan in the next few months. The change to both starting salaries and salaries of existing employees will enhance our efforts to not only recruit, but retain a highly qualified workforce. While we continue to look for new ways to recruit talented employees, I believe it's also important to acknowledge the work that the employees that we have already been doing. While working on the classification and compensation study, we implemented a series of payments or pay raise increases for all permanent employees. In addition to compensation, we've also expanded employee benefits. For example, the city has expanded the partnership with Columbia College to offer a 15% tuition discount for all city employees and their families. Also, in regards to benefits, the city avoided passing on the cost of health care increases by absorbing that increase. That increase was approximately 11%. We're also offering 6 weeks of paid family medical leave for the first time, meaning that if an employee has an experienced and qualified event, they're now required to use their sick time or vacation time for the first 6 weeks. This year, we also added Veterans Day as a paid city holiday. We want to recognize the many city employees and their family members who serve our country. Additionally, employees' annual vacation was increased by approximately 8 hours. All these actions show our commitment to taking care of the people who take care of our city. Now I'd like to shift my focus to our community members. I'm proud of what we've done in order to address the issues that our residents say are important. Like many cities, Columbia is grappling with the housing crisis. We have many unique aspects to take into consideration when we talk about this issue. There is an overall shortage of housing. What's more, there's especially a shortage of affordable housing for families and individuals who want to plant roots in our community. Given the significance of this issue, we felt it was important to have staff that are focused on this effort. That is why we created an entirely new Housing and Neighborhood Services Department. Becky Thompson, who has been named as director, is now working to lead this effort. Yeah. I'm confident this department, along with our community partners, will find new ways to build equity and help ensure our residents can build a long-term financial security. Of course, the city's core services are ultimately what makes Columbia a place people want to call home. Residents want to know that their families are safe, that their streets will be cleared in the winter, and the city will be kept clean. I'm happy to say the city continues to provide the level of services residents expect, even while facing staffing shortages. But we've also started to enhance some of our services. One of the biggest changes is roll carts. In March, the city officially began automated refuse collection. With any change, there's always growing pains. But now, several months into this process, we're getting positive feedback from both residents and staff. Automated collections are a much safer and more efficient way to keep our city clean. It requires less manpower and provides a better environment for our workers. Please join me in watching a brief video on this change.
To me, it's safer now. I feel personally a lot safer with the roll carts, most definitely.
Pretty physical job if you're picking it up off the ground. And jumping up and down off the truck. Driver got to worry about a person on the back of the truck. You know, so, you know, trying to cut down some of the danger and some of the wear and tear on the knees and the back.
Not going to miss being on the back of that truck, most definitely, because we don't have the risk falling off or throwing something dangerous in the back of the hopper. I don't miss that part. I don't miss being on the back of the truck.
The goal of the city is to make these roll carts be successful. And it's my job and my team's job to see it through.
After we started, they had somebody get in the truck that actually sell the trucks and know how to work them. He was like, I've been timing you. And I'm like, what? He was like, yeah, you pick 75 carts in an hour. And I'm like, is that good? He was like, it's all right, but you just started. So that's kind of pretty decent. A really good driver, they'll do like 150. So I said, I even told my supervisor, Calvin, like, Calvin, I'm at 75. And then when I made it to 125, I took a picture of the camera, like, look, I got 125 an hour. And right now I'm at like 150, 155. My best is 160. So I'm thankful. I told my wife that. I'm thankful for that. It's an achievement. I like testing myself and everything.
I'm proud of the team, and I'm proud of the work that they've been doing. I was a little, you know, a little skeptical at first, but I believe we can do it.
I hope we continue with this. I can see this in a year. It's going to be just really smooth. So, you know, I'm just, once again, thankful. Hopefully I'll retire from here. I love it here, for real, everything. I love it here. Voila.
I am thankful to have such hardworking employees who've been instrumental during this transition. I'm also happy to highlight that in March, the city resumed collecting curbside recycling. We know this is a service that is very important to our community and our efforts to outlined in our climate action and adaptation plan. Also in line with that plan, the city utilities department will be taking the first steps to transition to advanced meter infrastructure, or AMI, for electric and water meters. AMI was recommended in the 2021 Integrated Electric Resource Master Plan. It will provide opportunities for time-based rate programs that will encourage customers to reduce peak demand and better manage their costs. The City of Columbia's Water Department has begun significant upgrades that will restore the reliability and the capacity of the McBain Water Treatment Plant. This construction project will include rehabilitation and replacement of aging infrastructure, which will enhance the performance and extend the life of this critical facility. Construction of this project is anticipated to begin this summer and will take approximately 2 years to complete. Like utilities, our Public Works Department has also had an exciting year. In 2023, the U.S. Department of Transportation announced the City of Columbia would receive a Safe Street and Roads for All grant to fund studies related to improving road safety. Columbia was one of only 473 communities nationwide to receive this grant. The city has received $3.68 million for the first two rounds. The federal government continues to provide funding for this grant, and we've already made an application for the third round. This funding will allow the city to maximize a smaller amount of local funds to achieve a greater impact. The city has also been designated a potential recipient of an additional $2.1 million planning grant awarded through the U.S. Department of Transportation. This funding will fuel a comprehensive study of the Interstate 70 Business Loop Corridor. It will be focused on enhancing safety, accessibility, and aesthetics and economic vitality throughout the area. We're currently in the process of developing the grant agreement. This year, we'll also complete a comprehensive study of GoComo, a public transit bus system. This study, which began in August of 2023, is scheduled to be completed in September. It will evaluate the opportunities to improvement on our bus system by taking in the voices and feedback of our residents. Continuing to discuss grant funding initiatives, the City of Columbia was awarded $3.6 million from the Federal Highway Administration as part of the Charging and Fueling Infrastructure Grant. This grant application was developed with the support of the National League of Cities and will fund the purchase and installation of and maintenance of 44 electric vehicle charging stations at two downtown parking garages, the Regional Daniel Boone Library, and Columbia Regional Airport. The project will also include community planning activities to identify strategies to enable us to move participants to transition more into a cleaner transportation processes. As you can see, our staff has made great efforts to pursue grant funding. This allows us to make significant citywide developments without putting a financial burden on our residents. Now I'd like to focus to another community-wide issue, public safety. Columbia is growing quickly, and we're experiencing some growing pains. We know crime has a lasting negative impact on our community. That's why the city has joined the National Institute for Criminal Justice Reform. This institute is made up of cities working to reduce crime and implement evidence-based practices. This is our first step in creating an office to support our efforts in reducing community violence. This new office will work alongside community partners, local law enforcement agencies, mental health professionals to interrupt and address violence in the various ways it can manifest itself inside our community. We know there are many groups already doing great work in our city. This office will support those efforts and create process for collaboration to make for a more comprehensive approach. We have begun laying the groundwork, and I'm confident this momentum will continue. In April, former Fire Chief Clayton Farr retired after serving 25 years with the department. Following his retirement, the city is in the process of selecting its next fire chief. We began the search in March, and we anticipate making the final selection within the next coming weeks. We're looking for someone who can carry on the tremendous progress the department has seen over the last several years. This past fall, we opened Fire Station 11 on the south side of town, which was funded by the 2015 quarter cent capital improvement sales tax. This new station includes three apparatus bays, a training room, and a Columbia Police Department substation. It also features industry-leading safety and sustainability features and is sculpted by Kansas City glass artist Tyler Kimball as part of the city's Percent for All program. We're also continuing to make progress on Fire Station 10 at the intersection of East Broadway and El Chaparral Avenue South. The department has met several times with Public Works engineering staff, an architectural firm, to develop concepts on how we can adjust this property. The plans include renovating the existing building to be used as the fire marshal offices. During the process of building the new station, the current space will also house fire staff. The city has met with neighbors in this area to get their feedback on the proposed plans. The addition of the two new fire stations will ensure response times remain low as our city continues to grow. This project is in part funded by the capital improvement sales tax. The city has used this tax to fund high-cost public safety and infrastructure projects for decades. Early this month, the city council voted to put an extension of the capital improvement sales tax on the ballot in August. If it were approved, it will allow us to continue funding these projects, which are beyond the scope of the city's annual budget for the next 10 years. I encourage you to scan the QR code on the screen and visit como.gov/CIST to learn more. In addition to new infrastructure, the fire department continues to focus on professional improvements. The department was recently accredited through the state of Missouri as a certified EMT basic training entity. With the introduction of this new training program, we are increasing the number of individuals joining the department who will be able to receive their basic EMT license. This will help ensure that we continue to deliver quality emergency response services to our community. While these accomplishments are great, I would especially like to highlight one in particular. In March, the Columbia Fire Department was reaccredited through the Commission of Fire Accreditation International. The reaccreditation process evaluated the department against rigorous standards of performance, professionalism, and continuous improvement. This comprehensive assessment covered all aspects of operations, emergency response, training, equipment maintenance, and community outreach. Columbia Fire Department maintains its status among an elite group of only 324 fire departments worldwide that have received this recognition. Let's give our fire department a round of applause. In November, the city promoted Jill Schlute as Columbia's first ever female police chief. Chief Schlute started the department in 2005. Under her leadership, the department has already started making significant changes. The police department has reorganized to create a professional standards bureau. This new bureau consists of internal affairs, training and recruitment, policy and research, and communications. This new division has led to the creation of a customized recruitment and retention plan, a command-level liaison to the Citizens Police Review Board, and the creation of more meaningful interactions with our community. The department has also formed a homeless outreach team. This program has designated officers whose focus is to connect with individuals experiencing homelessness in an effort to better understand their needs and connect them with resources. Those same officers also use the rapport that they have with these individuals to address potential concerns from residents and our business owners. Ultimately, this program is designed to help individuals transition out of homelessness when possible, but most importantly, divert them from the justice system. Access to shelter is another critical component in our process to transition out of homelessness. The city has worked with the nonprofit group Room at the Inn to provide year-round shelter for the first time to the most vulnerable populations in our city. The city acquired the Ashley Street Center in 2022. This fiscal year, we made significant upgrades to the facility and increased the funding to Room at the Inn, allowing them to provide year-round service. I would now like to draw your attention to the screen to watch a video highlighting these new initiatives.
A regular patrol officer is just not going to have the time. They're busy answering 911 calls consistently throughout their shift, and they just don't have the time when they come upon somebody that's dealing with homelessness to actually take the time to build a rapport with them, check on them daily, and connect them to services. Instead of just going to a call and trying to clear the call and move on to the next thing, we can actually build a relationship with the people that are homeless.
We'll offer services, but at the same time, if we still have to do our job law enforcement-wise. Starting off here, we're just kind of being a little lenient, using a lot of discretion. We're trying to build bridges between them to get their cooperation, and we feel by not arresting them that we build better rapport by working with them rather than automatically arresting them for whatever crime they may have committed.
I think that's the goal. Have law enforcement partner with social services to get people off of the streets so that patrol isn't getting continual calls on them.
Having a place that we can operate out of all the time, it makes it really easy for the guests to know where we are. Getting funding to go year-round, you know, it was always heartbreaking every mid-March when we would shut our doors. You know, it would both be a relief that we made it through the season and now we get to rest, but it was also knowing that, you know, there's still cold weather ahead, people don't have any place to go. Shelters are a band-aid solution to a lack of housing. And we have a severe housing shortage. So if we're not gonna have enough houses for everyone, then we need a safe place where people can at least rest and get some sleep. We couldn't do 10% of what we do, you know, without the city doing what they do. So, I mean, that, you know, we're really grateful. We couldn't do what we do without their help, and they've been really supportive. And the current council and current city manager, it's a big difference from what it was even just a few years ago. So we're really grateful.
I'm incredibly proud of the partnerships that we have formed as part of our efforts to address homelessness. Expanding beyond homelessness, our public safety partners have been funding new ways to work collaboratively to bring a compassionate approach to justice. This month, we formally introduced the DIVERT program, which is a collaboration between the police department and Public Health and Human Services. This program has three parts. The first is our community support docket. The City of Columbia's Municipal Court Community Support Docket provides an alternative court process for individuals experiencing homelessness and veterans who have been charged with a local misdemeanor. Individuals attend a special court docket and set goals in cooperation with the DIVERT staff, the prosecuting attorney, and the municipal judge. The DIVERT staff will provide a link to participants with ongoing case management and supports and monitors their progress. The second part of this public safety is public safety diversion. Through the DIVERT program, the city's police and fire departments, Office of Neighborhood Services, Animal Control, and Environmental Public Health offices can refer individuals or families with health and social needs to DIVERT staff specialists. The DIVERT staff provides short-term case management to link them with community resources with the goal of addressing their identified needs and preventing further contact with public safety agencies. The last portion of this program is Familiar Faces. The Familiar Faces Initiative expands upon the Public Safety Diversion Program by analyzing justice and public safety data to identify severe, high utilizers of public safety resources. The DIVERT staff provides more intensive case management services to these familiar faces with the goal of reducing repeat interactions. While public safety and access to healthcare are some of the most important things that a city can have, having access to parks and resources like the arts are also vitally important to maintain a thriving, healthy community. Columbia's Parks and Recreation is expanding its footprint. The second phase of the construction at the MU Healthcare Pavilion at Clary Shy Community Park was completed in the fall of 2023. This open-air pavilion is home to Columbia's Farmers Market and provides an event space for community organizations throughout the year. In 2023, the Columbia's Farmers Market welcomed nearly 195,000 visitors who collectively spent $4.2 million on locally sourced farm fresh products. This remarkable growth is evident in a substantial increase in customer attendance by 215% since 2012. Work is also underway to build a park in the North Village Arts District called North Village Park. The proposed development includes an active family space with themed playgrounds, tree plantings, park lighting, public art, a flexible performance area, and variety of seating and shade structures. This project is funded by the 2015 and 2021 park sales tax and a Missouri ARPA for Community Revitalization grant. This project will be completed in September of 2026. In a similar vein, the Office of Cultural Affairs has expanded its popular traffic box art program. The city will continue to utilize traffic signal boxes for artwork. The expanded program will allow us to use these licensed works of art on other public infrastructure such as bus shelters or alleyways. The Office of Cultural Affairs is also restructured the program and artist application to create a more equitable approach to having artists' work chosen and installed. Similar to our efforts to expand access to arts in Columbia, we're also working to ensure everyone has access to learn the history of our community. It is important that we recognize that our history, both good and bad. This year, the City of Columbia has a mayor-appointed committee that has worked to allocate grant funds to various groups that are funding projects celebrating Juneteenth. The city was awarded more than $38,000 from the Missouri Division of Tourism to fund this initiative. We're working closely with the groups who have received grant funding to increase awareness of all Juneteenth events. Additionally, this year will be the third year the city will observe Juneteenth as a paid holiday for city employees. Last year, the city purchased the McKinney Building at 411 East Broadway. The McKinney Building is among 24 locations in Columbia commemorated with informational markers along the African American Heritage Trail. This century-old building has functioned as a jazz venue, a shopping outlet, and an African American community center, among other things. With the goal of preserving that history and possibly paving the way to new history, a mayor-appointed task force has also started to gather feedback from the community and will be using this input to recommend a plan for this building use to the city council. The task force is composed of 15 members that represent diverse industries of our community, including downtown business leaders, experts on Columbia's local history, and music studies. I look forward to discovering what the future holds for this iconic piece of history. This year, Regional Economic Development, Inc., or READY, the city's economic development partner, opened the Shops at Sharp End at the corner of 5th and Walnut. The shop's goal is to reduce barriers to entry for low to moderate income individuals and minority business owners who wish to start a new retail enterprise. More broadly, READY has focused on entrepreneurship, specifically among the minority and immigrant-owned businesses across our region. READY's Global Entrepreneurship Coordinator position became a full-time position in October. This position works directly with refugee and immigrants who wish to start businesses in Columbia. Since December of 2022, READY has distributed 21 minority business enterprise grants for $5,000 each, totaling $105,000 that has been dispersed locally over the last 2 years. This grant program will be launched again in June, and it's funded by the City of Columbia and focuses on inclusivity and opportunity and at the elevation of underrepresented businesses in our community. This fosters the growth of minority-owned enterprises and drives economic progress. Over the course of last year, with the help of you, our residents, we've made some significant progress in tackling the many complex issues in our community. I hope you share with me the same sense of pride I feel as I look back on the things we've accomplished together. As I said earlier, this past year has been a year of action, a year of seeing things through and finding new initiatives, a year of accomplishments, providing a year-round shelter to those experiencing homelessness, completing construction of a new fire station on the south side of town, implementing road carts for a safer, more efficient collections, opening a business incubator to support minority-owned businesses, taking the first steps to creating an office to combat community violence, and creating an office to focus on our housing crisis. Each of these topics I've touched on, the economy, public safety, infrastructure, are all interconnected. Advancements made in each sector paves the way for a well-rounded city, and the advancement could not be possible without the support and participation of each of you. I look forward to seeing what else we can accomplish with the remains of this fiscal year 2024, and as we begin the budget process of 2025. I encourage you to join us in July when we deliver the budget message outlining our priorities for fiscal year 2025. I also encourage each of you to continue engaging with us on projects, programs, initiatives that make Columbia the best place to live, work, learn, and play. Thank you.